was I got the privilege of being the Bible discovery guy in the early teen room over here. And we got to talk about where the truths that we were teaching from the Bible met the kids in their lives that they're really living, in their hopes, in their fears, in their experiences, in their struggles, in the wrongs even that they do. And it was so wonderful to see God's Spirit work as the kids remembered the songs, as their kids remembered the stories, and you could see it was touching their hearts, that they were actually thinking and connecting the dots with their lives. And so I really want to thank the staff and everyone who helped to make this experience a reality. Now, I need three young volunteers to come and help me. You have to be a little bit strong. Okay, Kaylee, come on up. Daniel, let me see. And you're already here. All right. I need your help. Where'd Kaylee go? Oh, Kaylee is suddenly overcome with shyness. What's the final answer, Kaylee? You coming or not? She's not. Okay, I need one more volunteer. Okay, Charlie, help me out here. Now, I'll tell you how things were. You might have noticed all of this last year. Of course, I know that all of you throughout the year get out your English Oaks officers list and check them over from week to week, right? But if you had, you would have realized that we did not have a vacation Bible school leader. We did not have a vacation Bible school leadership team. And so I think it was about a couple of months ago, called together a meeting of anyone who would have any interest in finding out if vacation Bible school would happen. And a group came together, and we talked about the pros and cons, and all we could talk about was pros. And we asked around the room, should we have vacation Bible school? Should we have vacation Bible school? And every last person in the room said, yes, we should have vacation Bible school. Because it was the make or break time when if we were going to do it, we had to get going and get going hard. And if we couldn't do that, that we just needed to say, let's plan for next year. But the group said, yes. And then the question became, like always, you, when you're making decisions in your life, are we going to do it? And then the question is, how? And the team came together. And they had what was called, I just learned the term this morning, the group of four. That's not some Russian oligarchy group that's running the world. That is the group that came together to lead our vacation Bible school experience. Now, Elizabeth Robeson, who helped organize everything and put things together, is back in Arkansas. So we can't thank her in person today. But kids, I want you to follow me. We're going to go into the little grass shack, not in Hawaii. All right. And I would like to ask Audie and Shelley, and where are you? Audie and Shelley, and where's Janine? Is Janine still there? Yep. Come on up, please. Okay, kids. We have just a small way. Oh, I should have taken them out of the water. Drippy way. A small drippy way to let you know that we thank you so much for stepping up to the plate and making a wonderful experience for our kids, letting the Holy Spirit use you to help kids know that whatever their situation, Jesus rescues them in it. And so please accept this as a token of our gratitude. Can you say amen? Whatever way you want to say thank you, please say thank you to this team. Thank you, helpers. You may go back to see. And when Elizabeth gets back, or if you're on a Facebook friend of her, or have her email, pile her with thanks as well. We're so grateful for what you all have done. We really appreciate it. Well, if we can get these screens working up here, I want to share with you The theme for this year's Vacation Bible School is different than any other Vacation Bible School that I've ever heard of. This theme, I don't think we have it anywhere listed here on the stage. I'll just go forward one. The theme was shipwrecked. Now that's incredibly positive, isn't it? Usually Vacation Bible Schools sound very happy. You know, what was the one in Peru? I forget the words that went along with Peru. Another one that we did was Kidsville. I mean, that sounds happy, right? Kidsville. Another one's down through the years. Really happy sounding ones. But this one, come on, kids, let's get together around shipwrecked. That's really happy and positive. Well, when I think of shipwrecked, my mind goes back to the old book that I read when I was a kid and loved so much, Robinson Crusoe. How many of you ever read Robinson Crusoe? Okay, and what are some of the others in that? Swiss Family Robinson. Anybody read Swiss Family Robinson? Not just saw the movie, but actually read the book, Swiss Family Robinson. It's okay if you watched the movie too. But the template for it all, the fundamental, is Robinson Crusoe. Why did I like Robinson Crusoe? Well, it probably fed into and was partly along the same lines as to why I like to read books like Outdoor Survival Skills by Larry Dean Olson. That's a classic, by the way. You want to learn how to survive out in the woods? Of course, I never really got to try everything. But the thing I liked about Robinson Crusoe was that he got into this terrible situation where he was shipwrecked on an island, no one else there to help him. No one, he finally had to conclude, no one was coming to rescue him. And he figured it out. He figured out how to get a fire going. He figured out how to find food. He figured out his own fashion designs. He figured out how to make a raft and get out to the ship and get supplies and things. Robinson Crusoe, way down in the book, he's rescued by pirates of all things. But mostly while you're reading that book, you figure Robinson Crusoe, other than loneliness, didn't need anybody to rescue him because he had it handled. He could rescue himself. He could keep himself going. He could feed himself. He could shelter himself. And I loved that kind of story. No outside rescuers needed at all. Well, let me tell you, that is not the story we told this week at Shipwrecked. Because as appealing that is to my, whatever you want to describe, my little soul in its natural self, that likes to be self-sufficient and take care of things myself, that is not the story that we told this week, and that is not the story that the Bible tells. About us as individuals or about our whole human race, the whole planet full of us. We are in it deep, and we cannot rescue ourselves. Do you have any argument with that? You might question it about your own life. Well, the Bible is unequivocal and clear. Without Jesus, you are in it deep, and you cannot rescue yourself. But certainly by now, as you have watched the news, as you have watched what happens in neighborhoods, in our country, in the world around us, surely you cannot think that somehow we are going to rescue ourselves. You know that as followers of Jesus, we are called to do every good that we can to help with all of the terrible situations in the world around us. Feed the people who need feeding. Help make justice for people who are being denied justice. Do everything that we can with the power that we have. But ultimately, none of us can be so deluded as we see things moving forward, to think that somehow we are going to rescue ourselves. No, we require rescue. And so in different themes, in different areas of life, right here on this stage, through the songs and through the teaching and through the stories, the kids learned that in all of the different situations of life, Jesus rescues us now, and he will rescue us. So, I want to introduce you to these creatures. You know, Vacation Bible School, it seems to be the standard template now. There's an animal, there's a creature to teach you everything. And so we're going to start and we're going to go through these creatures. So I'm going to need your help, kids, and we're going to go to our first creature. Does anybody know the name of this leopard? Hope! Yeah? Yeah, because it doesn't have individual spots. It has, yeah. Who said that? Thank you for being bold with the truth. I was just testing you. You're supposed to call me on that, because that wasn't the truth. Okay, I thought you were going to, no. Yeah, the jaguar. So the jaguar's name is Hope. Isn't that a nice name? It's much better than shipwrecked, right? So Hope had a lesson to teach. So on Monday morning, as we opened Vacation Bible School, we were introduced to Hope. And Hope had a theme scripture. And I have some helpers who are going to help me with the theme scriptures. And so I would like to ask to come on up. Kezia is going to help us first. Kezia, could you bring up the first scripture that we learned? And can you share it with us? It's Psalm 27 and verse 10.
The Lord will hold me close, Psalm 27, verse 10.
Thank you very much, Kezia. The Lord will hold me close. Let me see. What do you want to do with that? You want to put it somewhere? Okay, why don't you lean it by Hope? I think that's a super idea. Lean it up, see if we can get that to stand. You did a great job. All right, the Lord will hold me close. Now that's hopeful, isn't it? And the theme for Monday was, when you're lonely,
Jesus rescues.
Are you starting to get the pattern? Okay, I want not only the kids, but I want the grown-ups to help us with this. So when you're lonely, okay, now there's something, we're trying to introduce it, you know, just one step at a time. I'll give up my clicker here. So whenever you say Jesus rescues, you're supposed to grab your arms like this, okay? Oops, the scripture came down. Let's put it right there. So when you're lonely, Jesus rescues. Okay, this side seems to be weak. When you're lonely, Jesus rescues. Thank you very much. And so every day we had Bible stories that we looked at to illustrate the theme for that day. So on this particular day, when you're lonely, Jesus rescues, we actually got to look at the stories that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15 about the lost coin, about the lost sheep, and about the lost boy. And about how all of these three got lost and alone, away from the family that God intended them to be in. And in each story, in one way or another, what happened? Jesus rescued the lost one, the one who was off on their own with no one else to help them. You'd say Vacation Bible School is for kids. But do you need that lesson sometimes? Do you ever get yourself away from the family that God intended you to be with? Your own family or the family of God wandering off somewhere? What is Jesus' attitude towards you when you find yourself in that situation? Even if you completely got yourself into it, what is his attitude towards you? What does he want to do? He wants to rescue you. You might be like that inner self of me who wants to keep trying and saying, I can fix this myself. I can help myself. I can straighten this out. I can get myself out of this jam. I can get myself reconnected the way I need to be reconnected. Is that true? Is it true? No, it's not. I hear you quietly saying, no, it isn't. Because when you're lonely, it's Jesus that rescues. And then we went on to the next day. And what is this happy character's name?
Beacon.
Beacon the toucan, who has a big beak. We'll figure out a way for you to have to say that really fast and get your tongue all twisted. Beacon the toucan, who has a really big beak. Anyway, so this is Beacon, and Beacon has a theme scripture, and I'm going to invite Allie to come up and share that theme scripture with you for Tuesday. Okay, Allie, come on up. And you can share with us Psalm 34:19.
The Lord comes to rescue each time.
The Lord comes to rescue each time. Where's Beacon? Oh, Beacon's over here. We'll just have to put that in front of the ship. Oh, I figured out something. Is it okay to put it in front of this cannon, do you think? So that everybody can see it. Will it fit? Not all of my ideas are good, I must confess. Yours was better, Allie. The Lord comes to the rescue each time. And so the theme for that one is, when you worry,
Jesus rescues.
When you worry,
Jesus rescues.
All right. And so we learned very well that when you worry, Jesus rescues. And the kids had a chance to think about the things that worry them. I want you to take a moment and think about the things that worry you. What do you worry about? In your own life? In the world around you? In the church family? In your personal family? What do you worry about? The good news I have for you is, once more, the answer is not for you to see what you can do, although there are things that you can do, but ultimately, it is Jesus who is able to rescue you. By the way, what's a word, people who know Christian language, what's another word for Jesus rescues? What's another phrase that means the exact same thing? We have heard a joyful sound. Do you know the rest of that line? Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. What? Jesus saves, Jesus saves. This is the truth. This is the central truth of the gospel, isn't it? This is the central truth. When Jesus summarized his mission, what did he say he came to do? To seek and to save that which was lost. When people questioned who Jesus spent his time with, who were some of the sordid, lowly characters of his community. How did Jesus explain it? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came on a rescue mission when he summarized in Luke chapter 4, quoting from Isaiah, why he came. It was to give the good news, to rescue. When he summarized himself as a shepherd, it was to rescue. When you worry, when you're concerned, Jesus saves. Then the next day, we met another creature, which is a manta ray. Oh, what's the manta's name? That's right. The manta's name is Ray. The manta ray, and the manta ray has the scripture, Psalm 46:10, and we have a team for this one. Arabella and Amy are going to share this one. Come on up. Psalm 46, verse 10. Okay. And are you going to say it?
No.
Okay. Amy's going to say it.
No. know that I am God.
Did you hear that? All right, try that again.
Be still and know that I am God.
Amen. That's right. Okay, so where's Ray? Where is Ray? Oh, he's on the very back. Let's put that right in front of here, okay? Because if we put it back there, they won't even be able to see it. Be still and know that I am God. And the theme that went with that was, when you struggle, Jesus rescues. And this was where the kids got to start to see the gospel right up front and center. Because the story that we shared with them about when you struggle, Jesus rescues, was the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the story of how he was there with the weight of the sins of the world coming down upon him, struggling in prayer. He was there asking his disciples to stay awake and be there for him, which they were not able to do. He was there alone, struggling in prayer with the Father, praying, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, yet as you will, but as your will be done." And Jesus struggled. And one of the things that we focused on, which we don't necessarily like to realize, but in the ultimate sense really gives us what we need, is that sometimes it doesn't feel like the rescue comes right away, does it? Sometimes you continue struggling. Sometimes you continue in the situation not seeing where the answer is going to come from. But you can know when you struggle. Thank you very much. When you struggle, that's absolutely right. When you struggle, Jesus rescues. He is coming through for you. And we saw Jesus in our imaginations getting arrested. We saw the whole thing with Peter chopping off the ear of the servant. And Jesus, in that moment, healing, going through the fake sham trials that he went through, all because he was on the rescue mission for us. And then on Thursday, we met Guac. Oops. Who is this? And what is Guac? He's an iguana. That's what I thought, but I was afraid of getting it wrong. Guac is the iguana. And Guac had a theme scripture as well. And Nancy's going to come up and share that theme scripture with us. Come on up, Nancy. You ready?
Here on earth, you'll have many trials, but take heart.
Heart, yep.
I have overcome the world.
Amen. Thank you very much. And put that right by Guac. Good job. All right. And on Thursday, we focused on the cross. In Bible Discovery, we talked about the fact that each one of us has done wrong. Each one of us has broken God's commands. Each one of us, our righteousness, even the best things that we can do, are filthy rags, as the Bible says. And the kids, so heartfelt, in a quiet atmosphere, took those rags that we gave them and they draped them on the cross, giving them to Jesus. And symbolically, we washed their hands and were able to look each child in the eye, every single one that came to Vacation Bible School, and say, "Jesus forgives you. You are clean." And they learned and they felt in their hearts, when you do wrong, Jesus rescues. When you do wrong, Jesus rescues. Take that to heart right now. As we discussed with the kids, every last one of us has done wrong and done wrong and done wrong and done wrong and struggles with doing wrong. I took my own filthy rag to put it on the cross every time I had a group of kids come in my Bible discovery station, because it's true for all of us. We can fool ourselves and think we're together, but most of us really know. We all need that rescue. And brothers and sisters in the family of God, friends who might be visiting here for the first time, we spend so much time looking at each other and how each other have done wrong, but that's not what Jesus calls us to do. It changes the way you see yourself, and it changes the way you see others, because you recognize that each one of us has our own wrong. Each one of us has our own need of the great rescue of Jesus. Because when we do wrong, Jesus rescues. And then came Friday. Friday, we met. I put the wrong name on my slide. I'm afraid to click now. I forgot to change that. It has the right number of letters, and it even has the right last letter. But I left Ray on there, so I'm just going to be brave, okay? You'll be good to me? Okay, his name is Mo, R-A-E, Mo. Yeah, but you're not supposed to see it that way. It's supposed to say M-O-E, Mo. And what do you think? Mo is a sloth. What do you think Mo is supposed to illustrate? Those of you who are naturalists could actually debate and argue this one, but stereotypically, Mo is a good illustration of powerlessness. And so I would like to ask Roy to come on up and read Mo's scripture for us. Okay, Roy. What's Mo's favorite scripture? It's in Ephesians.
This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead.
I like the way you did that. Would you like to hear that again? Okay, Roy.
This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead.
Thank you. And put that right by Mo.
Right on his arm.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Roy. You know, ever since I met Roy, he's never been shy. Not ever. I remember when he was in, was it kindergarten? And they invited me in there to lead the songs, and he got right up and led them with me, unasked. No one even asked him. He just got up and sang the songs with me. So on Friday, we learned that God's mighty power is enough. We looked at a story that of Peter and John coming to the temple, and the beggar that was on the steps of the temple. And I love this strategy for those of you who are strategists. I love the strategy of the Vacation Bible School program. Because a lot of times when we're leading kids to Christ, we want to culminate with the cross and the resurrection. But this Vacation Bible School took it beyond to the power with which we get to live because of Jesus. That it's not just that you believe in Jesus, that your sins are forgiven, and now you have a place in heaven for you, but that now, in Jesus' name, and we took the kids through that, in Jesus' name, you have power over everything in your life that could get in the way of you getting to heaven and you fulfilling the purpose and the mission for which God has called you here on this earth. Isn't that good news? When we are powerless, Jesus rescues. And by the way, Bible scholars, through what aspect of the Godhead, through which member of the Godhead does Jesus give us the power that we need? The Holy Spirit, that's exactly right, given in Jesus' name. And so claim it. We called the kids to claim it. At the end of my part, the Bible discovery, we formed a circle and had each kid think about situations in their lives where they feel weak, where they feel there's nothing they can do about it. And we claimed victory in Jesus' name because there is power in his name. Can you believe it? The way Roy said it, none of us should be able to read this pretty much any other way than Roy read it. Because these words demand power and enthusiasm. This power, read Ephesians 1, the whole thing sometime, and read this passage. When it says, this is the same mighty power, he's saying the power that God works in your life with is the same mighty power by which he raised Jesus from the dead. And if you read past this, it says, and took him up to the right hand of the Father. Now, power to raise Jesus from the dead is really all I ask for. But he says it's not just the power that raised Jesus from the dead, but the power that raised him from the dead and took him all the way to the right hand of the Father and the throne in heaven. Isn't that amazing? When you're powerless, Jesus rescues. Now, in the Bible, kids, we didn't actually look at this story this week. We told you parables. We told you stories from the life of Jesus, from the lives of the apostles. But there's another story from the lives of the apostles in the Bible that actually is about a shipwreck. It's a story, and you can find it in the book of Acts. I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but I would invite you to review it sometime. Acts chapter 27 and 28 is where you'll find this story, where there was an actual shipwreck in the Bible. And all of these things that Mo and Ray and Beacon and Hope and where's the other one? There we go. And Guac have to tell you, they all come to play in this story. Because here's the story that happened. Paul was a follower of Jesus. And because he wouldn't keep quiet, because he wouldn't stifle down the power of Jesus to witness to his resurrection throughout the Roman Empire, as far as he could go, he got in trouble. Okay? So right there, we see the power, right? Paul had a mission from God to tell the story of Jesus that changed his life, and he was powerless to do it, but Jesus gave him the power to do it. And he did it to such an extent that he got in trouble with others. And so he was taken a prisoner, and ultimately he was put on a boat to go to Rome to stand trial for his life, for telling the story of Jesus, for telling the resurrection, for calling people to faith in Jesus. And so they're going along on this ship. Now Paul, you might be surprised, someone so full of power to tell the story of Jesus, to witness to the truth of the gospel, you might think he was obnoxious. You might think he was a strange and off-putting character. But in fact, he made friends with the guards who were there to take him to Rome. He made friends with the captain of the ship, and they began to trust him. And so off they went sailing to Rome. Now they stopped in a port, Fair Haven, and Paul got the leading that they should stay there. He got the leading from God that they should stay there and not go on. And what happened? The captain, much as he liked Paul, didn't consider Paul to be any kind of sailor and to know anything. Paul was a tent maker and a preacher. What does he know about sailing? And so the captain asked the crew, what do you think? And they took a vote. And off they went, sailing further on to make it all the way to Rome, or to see if they could get just a little bit further. And those of you who know the Bible story know what happened. A storm came up. Now, how do you think the crew felt during that storm, when the storm came up? It was a nor'easter, and it was tossing them. They were despairing of their lives, kind of like Jonah's ship. Do you think they were worried? Do you think they were worried? Yeah, they were worried. Let's see, who's the worry one? Beacon. There's Beacon. When you worry. They were worried. Did Jesus have a way to rescue them? Yes, he did. His servant Paul had a dream in the night. God sent him a dream in the night. And he got up in the morning and he told the crew, do you think he lectured them? Just a tiny bit. Just a tiny bit. You should have listened to me. But then he went right on to give them hope. Because when you're worried, Jesus might let you know just enough so that you know how you can avoid the situation again. But then he gets right to helping you. And so when they were worried, through Paul, Jesus rescued them. And so Paul told them, everyone is going to be saved. We're going to lose the ship, but every single person will be saved if you just do what I tell you to do. And so they were going along. They were going along, going along, going along. It wasn't getting better. It was getting worse. They had to throw everything overboard. And finally, the ship ran aground and started breaking to pieces. Do you think they were worried then? Do you think any of them realized that they had done wrong? Yes. Someone is saying yes. Yes, it began to dawn on them that they had done wrong. What does Jesus do when you realize and acknowledge that you've done wrong? He rescues you. And so Paul told them, everyone, grab a piece of this wreck. Grab a piece of wood and float yourself into shore, and you will all be saved. He said, not even one hair will be lost. Oh, that makes my heart think so many thoughts. A piece of wood as an instrument for your rescue. And it's no accident, on this very day when we were talking about this, we focused on the cross. When you do wrong, Jesus rescues. And so them, on the very thing that they hoped would be their salvation, broken into pieces so that it could do them, they thought, no more good. The very thing that represented how broken and lost of a situation they had found themselves in the hands of Jesus, became their salvation. And so they grabbed the pieces of wood that were floating and they floated into shore. And just as if that wasn't enough, when they were on the shore, drying off around a fire, Paul was there. And what happened? Some of you who know, do you see that in the picture? When he grabbed a load of firewood, which could have happened to me when I lived in Wallace for 4 years, but it didn't, thank God. A snake bit him on the hand, and it was a deadly snake. And all of the people of the island of Malta where they were thought he must be a very bad man because he's going to die now. Nobody recovers from that. Was Paul powerless, would you say? He had venom going through his body that every last person that the people of Malta had seen bit by this same kind of serpent had died from. He was powerless, but when he was powerless, what happened? Jesus rescued, and here's the good news, the amazing thing. This whole situation, a disaster, a shipwreck, through a combination of the forces of nature of which they had no control, a combination of the forces of nature with choices that they made over which they did have control and got themselves off track to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. They got in this disaster, this shipwreck that was largely of their own making, but Jesus rescued. And when Jesus rescues, he doesn't do it halfway in a way that he'd like say, oh, I'm so glad he could kind of like squeak me through this one by the skin of my teeth. No, Jesus is amazing because after Paul was bit by the snake, after the people thought he was then a god and tried to worship them, and after he told them the story of Jesus, guess what they did? They believed. Paul found out that the governor's dad was sick and dying, and Paul went. And he was able, by the power of Jesus, in Jesus' name, to heal that man. And people believed, and the gospel came to Malta. You might think that was the original plan, but Jesus is so good at rescuing that he can make his rescue of you in whatever situation you find yourself seem like it was the original plan. He's that good at rescuing. Each one of us have made our own mess. Each one of us has our own weaknesses. Each one of us has our own worries that try and take over. The good news for each one of us is Jesus rescues. But I want to bring you one more piece of good news. This world is a mess. And you might despair of how you are going to get off this world alive. But I'm happy to tell you, and the signs of disaster all around us are written in the Bible so that you can know that they aren't simply signs of disaster, but they are signs that remind us that Jesus is going to do one more rescue. Jesus is coming again. Just like was sung in the song, "Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring, Jesus is coming again." And so there's one more thing before we go that we didn't cover in Vacation Bible School in so many words, but was throughout the whole thing. When the world is in a mess, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you have made a way to rescue each one of us, to do the big rescue that takes us from death to life, that takes us from being sinners deserving to die with no hope, and brings us over to being the sons and daughters of God with a place in your family and a place in your kingdom forever. And thank you for the hope that you've given us in Jesus, that no matter how messy this world gets, and it's such a mess, that one day soon, Jesus will come and rescue us all and take us into that family, into that kingdom that lasts forever, which will never end, which is ruled only by your love. Father, I pray for each one of us here today, whatever we're going through right now, whatever doubts or fears try and get a hold of us, that we can believe and trust, experience your power, and be ready for that day. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing our song of love for one another. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils thick confound you, wrap his loving arms around you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.